Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's the midweek edition, even though it kind of still feels like it's a Tuesday, I guess. It is Wednesday, May 29th, 2013. This is anniversary week here for the Buckmaster Show. Yes, June 1st will mark 2 years here on KVOI. We are here each weekday live. 2 years already. How time flies, huh? We're here from noon to one on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're also Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. We stream the show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com. You can hear our programs anytime, anywhere by visiting my website, buckmastershow.com. We also post the program, making it easy for you with podcasts not only on my site, but TucsonSentinel.com and TucsonCitizen.com have the program. And there are links on the home pages of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. A big shout out to our friends there at GVNews.com and on the homepage for blogforarizona.com. Our thanks also to those folks. On today's show, with me in studio for the first half hour, Ramon Valadez. Mr. Valadez is chairman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. We have a lot to talk about in the first half hour. Then we'll talk during the second half hour with our blogger beat contributor, David Safir, of the award-winning political blog site known as Blog for Arizona. If you have a question or comment, we always invite you to give us a call on the Buckmaster Show live line, which I now declare officially open at 790-2040. You can also post a question or comment to our Facebook page. And if you haven't become a member of the Buckmaster Show Facebook friends, we certainly urge you to do so. You will get content every day discussing what's coming up on the program, gives you kind of a schedule of who our guests will be for that particular day. Now let's welcome Ramon Valadez. He is chairman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Supervisor Valadez, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure being here, and congratulations on your anniversary.
2 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah, boy, the time has flown by, but I'm very proud of the service that we are performing here and bringing in a wide variety of guests. Kind of, Ramon, a town square at midday.
No, I agree.
Yeah, for everybody to have their voice heard. And the Pima County Board of Supervisors will be adopting a budget, a $1.27 billion budget that will be coming up probably on your June 18th meeting. Now, the public feels, as you know, that the county's fat. This is a huge budget. Why? And they say, let's just move some funds around and let's just fix the roads.
Right.
That's what you hear.
That's what we hear. And the truth of the matter is, Bill, it's we passed the caps at about 1.27, but in all likelihood, this was just the cap setting. So that is likely to come down at final budget adoption. But the truth is that we don't have a lot of discretion. The 1.27 includes enterprise funds, includes formulaic funds, includes federal funds, state funds, other funds. The general fund expenditures is about $500 million of that $1.27 billion budget, and that goes to fund a multitude of different departments, and especially as we're starting to come out of the recession, different even enterprise funds at this point. I would love to tell you that we have the ability to move around that half a billion dollars, but there's a lot of formulaic issues there. There's a lot of statutory issues. There's a lot of requirements under ARS. So we do have some ability to move that around, but I don't think it's as great as most people realize.
Even if you could move some funds around, what you're looking at in fixing our roads is enormous.
Right. No, that's absolutely true, Bill. And we actually did a study, and I believe our final cost, if we were to bring failed roads back up to good to very good standard, it's a total bill of about $268 million for all of Pima County.
Well, that would take half of the general general budget right there, wouldn't it? The general fund.
Right. And those are just unincorporated Pima County roads, not municipal roads.
And there was also some concern that folks weren't getting their say before the budget meetings. Allie Miller had pushed for having study sessions. And what is your response to that there aren't these study sessions?
Well, I'll tell you what. When I came on the board in 2003, the study sessions were actually the fourth Tuesday of the month, and they were on the agenda, and they were on a monthly basis canceled. So we never had the study sessions. And I would tell you that the reason why we haven't done study sessions on general issues is because what we believe in doing as a concept when we begin that dialogue. We begin not through a study session with the board, but rather with a dialogue and discussion with stakeholders and general public. If you take a look at the process that we've used, usually it's a year to 2 year long process that starts off by figuring out on a particular issue, who are the stakeholders, and sitting down with the stakeholders, having a dialogue, how can we best accomplish this, having public hearings along those ends, and then coming to the board where there is another public hearing. So it's not that we don't have a dialogue. Part of the issue, I think, is that we need to be aware. I agree with the basic premise that part of our job is to make sure that we communicate what we're doing with our Pima County residents. I agree with that premise. I don't agree with how to accomplish it. And again, in this business, there's no wrong answers necessarily. I think what we need to do a better job is explaining what's in the budget, explaining what isn't in the budget. I mean, if you take a look at what we did in the tentative budget adoption, and we call it tentative budget adoption, but the truth of the matter is all we did was we set a maximum cap in the different budgets that the county has. But if you take a look since 2007-2008 fiscal year, we've had 11.5% cuts from general fund departments. We've cut the workforce by 12.8%. We've tried to do more with less. Our employees haven't seen any pay increase since 2007-2008, other than the fact that when there was a retirement issue that came up, we tried to keep them harmless. And that's all they've seen. We've asked them to do more with less. We've reduced staffing. We've reduced budgets. We've tried to be, frankly, as responsible as possible. We've also maintained the recommended level of the reserve fund, which, as you know, is important when we issue bonds or issue debt, because Pima County residents would pay a much higher rate if we weren't that responsible in terms of maintaining that reserve.
And speaking of your Finch ratings, one of the rating services that looks at a financial situation for counties all over the country, Pima County's general obligation bond program had a ratings outlook that is stable. And in this day and age, I'll take stable any day. When you look at what's happening with cities across the country, I think there's at least 10 over in California, where I was last week, Ramon, that are flirting with bankruptcy.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a very difficult time for municipalities.
It's a very difficult time with any governmental entity that's funded through taxes or property taxes. And I'll tell you what, I've mentioned all these things in terms of the cuts that we've done during that time. We've experienced almost a little over a 16% drop in the assessed value of Pima County during that same period of time. We've done more with less as well. And up until this year, we've actually absorbed most of that. As we've talked in the past, because state law requires our rolls to be 2 years in the rears from the current year when we do the property taxes, there is a built-in 24 to 36 month delay. So as we begin to see a recovery, we won't see much of that difference for another 24 to 36 months.
Ramon Valadez is with us, 790-2040, 790-2040. Perhaps you're not happy with the way things are going in the county. Ramon Valadez would welcome your comment or question. We will field any and all questions here for Supervisor Valadez. This looks like a good time to take our first break on the Buckmaster Show, this Wednesday edition. We'll be back talking about Pima County after this.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony? Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Wednesday on AM 1030 KVOI. The Voice, 790-2040, 790-2040. If you would like to ask Supervisor Ramon Valadez any question, or if you have a comment for him, he is the chair of the Board of Supervisors. And I was thinking as I looked at, now it looks like, Ramon, that the city is pulling away from anything to do with Grand Canyon College being in the city. What if they were to contact Grand Canyon College, were to contact you or someone with the county and say, what about perhaps something on county land?
Well, I'll tell you what, Bill, they haven't contacted us at this point.
They have not.
They have not. But it's a $1 billion investment in our community and 6,000 jobs. Obviously, we would certainly consider it, but again, we haven't heard from them at this point.
Would there be some area that could make that happen, perhaps?
there's a chance we could find something, but again,
yeah,
we'd have to hear from them.
But I'm hearing you say you would be open to certainly to talking to the people from Grand Canyon.
Most certainly.
Getting back to the property tax rate, you and your two Democratic colleagues, three Democrats on the board, as most folks know, are looking at proposing a 7% property tax rate increase next year. That is, we're talking about here the property tax rate, correct?
We are. And what we did, Bill, is that there were a number of issues that, including additional road preservation monies that we felt were left unanswered in the recommended budget. So what we wanted to do is leave ourselves potential room underneath what the truth in taxation was. And under the proposed rate increase, it would be 3.71 per $100 of assessed valuation in the primary. We left that as room for discussion in the final adoption of the budget, which happens June 18th. For that discussion, whether it's for road preservation or other issues that we need to address. What I asked for during my comments from the dais on that particular issue is I'd like to see us move forward together. Obviously, we've heard a great deal from the dais about how important road preservation and repairing potholes is. All right, well, let's have that conversation, and then let's move forward together.
And that would generate nearly $4 million that could go towards roads, correct?
Correct.
In the next fiscal year.
Or this upcoming
fiscal year. Right?
Yes, 13-14, correct.
13-14. Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Tom is with Pima County Supervisors Chair Ramon Valadez. Go ahead, Tom.
Supervisor Valadez, does the county have any particular programs for low-income seniors?
We have low-income programs in our different, particularly enterprise funds, because part of recently, because of the federal requirements to increase the effluent quality through wastewater, several of us required that in addition to the obvious increase, we wanted programs specifically directed towards low-income residents to make sure that they could pay their bills. We also have similar programs through our community services program at the county, all directed towards low-income. Obviously, there's also the initiatives that were passed a number of years ago that can freeze a valuation of a senior citizen that's particularly low income. And that's part of, I believe, the ARS.
Could Tom call your office
to get more information?
You want to give out your phone number so Tom can get some specific information.
Certainly. My telephone number is 740-8126. My email is dist2@pima.gov.
Okay, Tom, so that can perhaps give you some specific information about help for low-income seniors. 790-2040, 790-2040. There is this pipeline that's being proposed that will come up from Mexico. The Tohono O'odham Nation very upset about this project, and the Altar Valley has drawn opposition from the Indian Nation. Pima County has not taken a a formal stand on this. However, Chuck Huckleberry, the administrator, said that Pima County does support the nation's position that the integrity of the sacred landscape not be compromised.
No, absolutely. And we've taken strong positions on keeping those kinds of lands as they are today, or to protect those archaeological resources that we have in our community. The other part, Bill, is while we haven't taken a formal position, we have met with them. And I was in that meeting myself. And part of the discussion has been that, from my perception, we really hadn't had the public dialogue that we as a county have with our residents. Part of the original discussion was to put the pipeline down the Sasabe Freeway through the Buenos Aires Wildlife Refuge. At one point, it looked like the environmental area of that department was saying that that was the least harm of any of the alternatives. But in their final determination, they said it wasn't compatible. So you take this area that's not pristine because you've got a state route through it,
mm-hmm.
And instead of being next to that where you minimize the impact,
right.
They want to put it along the edge of the Buenos Aires Wildlife Refuge and maximize the impact.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. This is a pipeline that's coming up from Mexico, and from what I understand, I mean, when you look at the map, what really makes sense is just run it along the I-19 corridor, but Kinder Morgan, who is doing this project, I understand that the terminus area would be Sasabe, so they don't want to invest the money to put it at Nogales and run it up through I-19. Am I fairly close to this?
Apparently, no. What they've explained to us is that this is a binational project, and in Mexico, they're having the pipeline company in Mexico. And apparently there was some sort of agreement that came through in an international discussion that Sasabe was going to be the joining point of those because of the service area they were trying to achieve.
Which is unfortunate because that's right, the Buenos Aires National Wildlife
right.
Refuge is just north of Sasabe. Let's go now to Matthew. Talk a little bit about property taxes. Matthew, you're with Supervisor Ramon Valadez. Go ahead.
Hi, Supervisor Valdez. Just curious, Supervisor Valdez?
Yeah, he's here.
I'm just curious, if you are we looking at any more money that comes to the county from the state as the economy gets better? They're sitting on a rainy day fund right now. We know that the city is looking for lotto money and HERF money. Is there any monies that we as Pima County can, hold the state accountable to give us back our money?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Matt. And first of all, Mr. Huckleberry's recommended budget, while the rate goes up, the overall amount that we collect goes down over the current fiscal year's overall levy. Is there monies? Yes. Particularly when it comes to the HERF revenues, since they started sweeping that fund, just Pima County alone, and that doesn't include Tucson, South Tucson, Marana, Oro Valley, Sahuarita, Pima County alone has lost almost $39 million. And we've actually passed a resolution from the board by a 4-1 vote that asked for the state to return those monies because obviously we have a need. As you may have heard a little while ago, it's a sizable amount of money that it's going to take in order to just address the poor to failing roads in just Pima County.
All right, Supervisor Ramon Valadez. Chuck did not want to go on the air, but his question was about a 7%. We had a call from a caller who wondered about a 7% increase. Why 7% on that property tax rate increase for next year? How did you settle on the 7%?
Right. What's happened? And a couple different things.
And quickly.
Okay. We're doing is the rate is going up. However, the assessed value has gone considerably down, a little over 8% this year. So we're facing the levy is the assessed value times the rate. So even at the recommended budget, Mr. Huckleberry recommended, the amount that we're collecting overall is less than the current fiscal year. We settled on that because this is a bare bones budget. This is essentially a maintenance budget of what we've got. We lifted the amount by a small amount when we did the caps, simply so we could have a discussion about more road preservation and addressing some of those issues that we felt were unaddressed.
Okay, Ramon Valadez, we thank you for spending a half an hour with us. And, of course, all of those meetings are open to the public, including the meeting on, I believe you said, June 18th for the adoption, correct?
That's correct, Bill. And if the public wants to come and chat, it's a public hearing. That's what it's for.
Okay. Midway Point on the Buckmaster Show, the midweek edition. David Safier is waiting in the wings. He is from the award-winning site Blog for Arizona. We have a lot to talk with David about. That's coming up next. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Syrian foreign minister says Bashar Assad will remain Syria's president at least until scheduled elections in 2014, adding that he may run for another term. The White House declines to confirm reports out of Pakistan that a U.S. drone has killed the Pakistani Taliban's second-in-command. Iraqi police say evening bomb attacks at two Baghdad markets have killed at least 17 people and wounded dozens more. The attacks come as the country is experiencing its most sustained wave of violence since the U.S. military pullback in 2011. On Wall Street, the key average is still in the red. The Dow is down about 81 points. The NASDAQ Composite Index and the S&P 500 lower as well. More details at srnnews.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Looking for a cool getaway this July? I highly recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at bearmountainlodge.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Coming up now on 12:35 on the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show, our anniversary week, 2 years here on June 1st on KVOI. And one of the things I am most proud about this show is our fine list of contributors, really more than 24 people, top-notch folks, who give of their time to come on this program, in some cases a couple of times a month, once a month, in the case of David Safir, who is our really newest contributor to the Buckmaster Show. And the full list of these fine people, these talented people, is available for your viewing at buckmastershow.com. And we welcome David now. David is our blogger beat correspondent. David writes about education and politics on the site Blog for Arizona, which was awarded, or named, I should say, awarded, I guess you could say, by the Washington Post as probably, I think they called it, David, the best blog, political blog site in Arizona.
That's correct.
That's really great. Good to see you, by the way.
Well, and happy birthday. Let me be one of the people who wish that to you or to your show anywhere. Happy birthday, two-year-old. It's wonderful.
Thank you. It's terrific. 2 years here on KVOI. David not only writes for Blog for Arizona, he has a column that appears, I think, during the third week, right, for Explorer newspaper.
That's correct, which has a Northwest Tucson distribution, basically.
And you write a lot about education.
I do, but I try not to be exclusively about education. But yeah, that's my deepest understanding is about education. Other things I try to keep up on, but that's what I follow most diligently.
Because you are a former teacher.
Correct.
That's for one reason. You're very involved with education. So much so now that you've taken it, you and Ann-Eve Peterson, who I have known for many years, respect very much, have put together doing some TV kind of segments,
right.
Video segments.
Using Tucson Access, which is absolutely wonderful, you know, a terrific studio of pretty close to professional quality, we have been putting together a half-hour show. We're just going to tape our second one on Friday, which is called Education, The Rest of the Story. Apologies to Paul Harvey on that one, who everybody in radio knows and loves his wit and his words, if not always what he espoused, but wonderful radio man. And we are putting together various ideas on education. We're trying to go in areas that the media usually doesn't go, and we're dividing them into small segments so we can put them, I put them on Blog for Arizona, I put them on Facebook, little 5 or 10 minute segments. We can email them out, and that way they get more currency than they get when they're run on cable TV, which some people watch, but you know, a lot of people don't watch access cable shows.
Robin does a nice job on our Saturday show lineup here on KVOI on the State of Education, a show you've also appeared on.
Absolutely. She's got a very
wide and deep.
She's gotten
great response from that show. It's really a show just devoted to education.
It is. It's wonderful. And as I was telling you earlier, we get a lot of people on there who differ from our opinions on education, and it's absolutely wonderful getting these calls, which are respectful but pointed. They make their point very clearly, and it's wonderful to be able to address people like that from a differing educational perspective and say, here's where we agree, here's where we disagree, and here's why, and keep it respectful and get the, you know, that's education in its best form.
790-2040, 790-2040 is our Buckmaster Show live line. I want to talk a bit about education. David had a very interesting piece about putting private student information online for corporate use. What could possibly go wrong? That's the headline for David's blog. I had no idea this was going on. We're basically talking, David, about the future of data mining student information. That era looks like it's arrived.
It is, and I'm beginning to realize more and more that data has become the tail wagging the education dog, that everything seems to be around collecting data and then collating data and using data and forgetting that there are actually flesh and blood students there who are much more complex than any data can put together. But this thing specifically, it speaks to the level of how much corporate money can affect education by the fact that the Bill Gates Foundation just dropped $100 million in this project. It's a nonprofit project, but he had the kind of money to say, well, I think it's a good idea. Here's $100 million. The idea is that any state or any school district that wishes to can upload all of its student data, and I mean all of it, names, address, parents' names, medical conditions, psychological conditions, discipline, grades.
Social security numbers?
Social security numbers, stuff that absolutely makes no sense to have up there. And then, again, with the district's permission, education companies will be able to get into that data, mine that data, use it, they say, for educational purposes to target programs. And there's nothing wrong with the concept of trying to create targeted programs for students. But the idea of taking what I consider to be virtually a sacred trust between schools and students and their parents, who don't, by the way, have to give permission for this data to be put out there, to break that sacred trust and say, here's the information, we're going to put it up on the cloud being where, you know, where you put all kinds of data, on Amazon, by the way, using Amazon Cloud. This is not wildly well-protected. It's very easy to hack into. But the idea that education companies or others can actually access this information very easily, which I, as a teacher, had to walk down to the counseling office, talk to the counselor, often not even see the information, but have the counselor give it to me. Colleges can't get students' grades without parents' permission. And here we're going to trust.
Well, this seems a little Big Brother-ish to me, and it just seems like this is a huge invasion of privacy. I don't understand. What's the end result of this?
It's two things together, I would say. One is it will make it easier, say, for a state or a district to have all of the information in one place. And I know Superintendent John Hoopenthal, our education superintendent, is trying to upgrade his computer system for that reason, to make this data more accessible. Now, I spent 30 plus years in the classroom. My data on my students was in their eyeballs, in the papers they handed to me, in my grade book, down at the counseling office. The idea that I needed a number printout on the students or data printout is absurd to me. The other reason is all kinds of companies now want to be able to feed online education to students. And they say, if we have this information on students, we can tailor it to them. Well, I'm sorry, they don't really understand what a student is by a collection of numbers and data points. It's just not... it's not right.
Well, what jumps out of your blog piece was that parents need not be informed or give consent to this. This just does not sound like a good idea.
Well, let me add one more piece to it that unnerves me. I said there was $100 million that was just plunked down. You know, the Gates Foundation wrote a check, and the Carnegie Foundation, I think, put some money in. $47 million of that went to an educational affiliate, educationally owned group, owned by Rupert Murdoch's News Corp. Okay, Rupert Murdoch is famous for the hacking scandals in England. I don't like his politics here, and I feel like some of the stuff that he does is not on the up and up. But over there, they hacked into people's emails. They hacked into their phone lines. They took a murder case with a 13-year-old girl and interfered with the police work by their hacking. And these are the people who we're going to believe will keep their hands off this data that they're helping bring together. It's unnerving.
And again, this nonprofit corporation is called In Bloom. That's I-N, then Bloom.
Correct.
Together.
One word, inbloom.org, if you want to look it up. But if you just Google In Bloom, you'll find there's been a lot of consternation about this. And in New York, there have been all kinds of school board meetings where people have come in just furious about this, rightly so. This may be scaled back, and it's a good thing that people all over the country have brought this to light, and that's one of the reasons I want to bring it to light here in Arizona. We don't have it here. I want to make sure we don't.
All right. David Safir is with us from Blog for Arizona. This would be a good time to take a break. Our number 790-2040, 790-2040. We always welcome your calls. We'll be right back.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:47. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, offering a terrific escape from the ordinary. You can walk through the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, swim in the Gila River, relax in a hot spring, hike in the Gila National Forest. Boy, it all sounds great, doesn't it, when we're looking at a forecast pushing over. We're finally going to go over the 100-degree mark. It'd be a nice little getaway over to the Gila Wilderness in Silver City, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson for a great weekend getaway. The elevation there, at least a mile high and higher in some places where it really cools things off. You can stay at Bear Creek Cabins, Buckhorn RV Park,
or Fayetteville Hot Springs Resort, just to name a few. All of the listing of the fine places to stay in Silver City and Grant County on their website, southwestnewmexico.org. With us, our blogger beat contributor, David Safir, is with us. We've been talking about education and a nonprofit group called In Bloom that's been collecting student data from schools with districts' permissions, but not the parents' permission. And that really kind of bothers me, David. I don't like that end of it. And how about TUSD? Are they into using any of these services?
Well, I'm just beginning to look into this, Bill, so I can't go too far. And before I say anything, I want to say that this isn't a knock on TUSD, because lots of districts, I believe, are using this service, and I don't want to be one of the people who's carping on a district that is mainly doing fine work. However, there's a program called MClass, which is made by the same Rupert Murdoch owned educational corporation, which is called Wireless Generation. And basically, this is something that collects data that teachers get, usually on elementary school kids, to see what their vocabulary level is like and what their reading speed is like. And it's fairly innocuous data. But my feeling is, this is still data on children. This is still data that can follow them around. Why shouldn't it be housed at TUSD? Why shouldn't they have some kind of a program on their own server so then teachers can access it? Why should it be sitting in a privately controlled cloud with information about students, about children, which can follow them one way or another the rest of their lives? It's kind of like an educational credit rating, but these are minors. And again, the parents aren't aware of this. I wasn't aware of this until a commenter on my blog said, hey, do you know this is going on? And I'm trying to learn more of it.
David Safir is here from Blog for Arizona, 790-2040, 790-2040. David, what did you think of, TUSD, about the new grade retention policy that apparently will be enacted?
I just read about it this morning in the paper, and I think that it's a moderate and fairly reasonable approach. And there are kind of two things that have to be talked about. One is that when I was in education classes, and that was way back in the 1970s before I started teaching, or actually the late 60s, this was a big issue about getting rid of retention. Because retention, it's well known in scholarly circles, and it's true, that if a kid is retained, their chance of dropping out goes up. Imagine if you're a reluctant student and said, sorry, kid, you no longer have 12 years, you now have 13 or 14 years till graduation. The other thing is, it can create all kinds of weird social situations, sometimes dangerous, when you figure a 16-year-old in the eighth grade with 12 and 13-year-old kids.
That could get very weird.
That being said, in my high school, in my English department, teachers would tell their freshman students, you know, if you flunk this class, you're going to take it over. And they said, nah, we're not going to take it over. We never did. In junior high school, we just got passed on. And they were stunned when they failed freshman English and realized they had to do it again. I think some kind of retention policy where teachers and administrators have a certain amount of leeway on it is a good idea. And this one, it sounds like they're building in enough safeguards. That being said, one more thing. Crystal Foster, who voted against it, along with Cam Juarez, are the two newest people on the school board. Crystal said, you know, I don't want to vote on this until I see some data. I want to see how many kids this year would have been held back by this policy. And that from Crystal was very wise. She wasn't against it, but she wisely said, let's try to foresee the impact of this program before we put it into place. And after that, she might have said, okay, this is a reasonable program. I don't know. But I support her caution on that.
Crystal was on our program yesterday, lead interview, Crystal Foster, on The Buckmaster Show. And, of course, all of our shows are available for podcast on buckmastershow.com. Well, David, let's move from education. Let's start talking about politics. Mm-hmm. Looks like Arizona House Speaker Andy Tobin is pretty much throwing in the towel, David. He is conceding that he does not have the votes to stop passage of Governor Brewer's Medicaid expansion. So now it's just kind of a waiting game at the legislature. The Senate folks are waiting around since they've already passed the governor's program. Now they're waiting for Mr. Tobin to finally bring this to the to the House floor. Whether that's going to happen this week or next week, it looks like, though, it is going to happen, and it looks like it will pass.
Well, I see. I always get the reports from Steve Farley, who puts out a weekly report.
Right, the
he's
Farley
my senator.
Report.
The Farley Report, which is absolutely wonderful and very informative. And he said, yeah, it looks like nothing's happening this week because it's not on the docket. It may go to committee, but next week, I'm not sure that what's going to happen yet, but I think it's going to pass. Brewer has this indomitable will, and she somehow has this genius political IQ. I don't give it to her in other areas, but she seems to know how to make things happen. Yeah. She says, sorry, everything stops until I get what I want.
I had to tell you, she has certainly crusaded on this thing. She's had four, five, maybe even six big news conferences at the Capitol saying, we need this for the benefit of Arizona. And the interesting development now is looks like this could go to the voters because of a petition drive that former state Senator Frank Antonori is spearheading.
Yeah, and Ron Gould, I think, is also an ex-legislator, and they have to get a bunch of signatures, 68, I can't remember what it was, 1,000 or something like that I saw in the paper this morning.
86,405.
Okay, sorry, I reversed it. You got it. It's a question of whether they'll do it. I hope they don't, because on the one hand, it could pass handily, but on the other hand, it means gazillions of dollars of national right-wing money will be pouring in, anti-Obamacare money, which could muddy the waters. You know, one thing that I think is interesting about this whole thing, Bill, is it's really split the Republican Party. There are 6 to 8 Republicans in the in the House who are planning to vote with the Democrats. There are a few, I can't remember how many senators voted with the Democrats, and it created an odd situation where they're being split. They're having to work together with the Democrats. I haven't seen Democrats have this much say in the legislature in ages. And things that they used to say were purely political all of a sudden are going on other issues. And the Republicans who are voting for this Medicaid expansion are actually playing the moral card, saying this is the moral thing to do. I have the Arizona Capital Times in front of me, and Steve Pierce, a Republican who certainly doesn't have leftist credentials, was quoting the Bible and saying the Bible says to help the needy. Well, when you hear things like that, there's a rift. Obamacare is supposed to be what carries them into 2014, and it looks like it may be part of what's splitting them, ironically.
It's going to be an interesting couple of years. Christine is up next on the Buckmaster Show. Go ahead, Christine. You're with David Safir.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm Christine, and I'm actually the chairman of the committee that was just formed. It's
okay.
Called the United Republican Alliance of Principal Conservatives.
Okay, tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, well, we're really, really united. The state has united. The party has passed many, many resolutions, and we do not want Obamacare in the state. You know, we made that pretty clear as a people with the vote of Proposition 106 years ago. And so we are going to start collecting signatures the minute Governor Brewer signs the bill. And we really think that's going to be a piece of cake to get those in no time and put this proposition to the ballot. But as far as the moral issue goes, to us it's a moral issue of not wanting federal control over my medicine. I want to be able to make my medical decisions with my doctor and not with a government politician or bureaucrat involved in it.
Okay, Christine. So we'll look for that petition drive to get launched after the governor signs this, correct?
Yeah. I want to quote Steve Pierce, a Republican in the legislature. By the way, you have perfect right to do that petition and make it happen. We'll see if it does. What Steve Pierce said, according to the Capital Times, he said, it says in the Bible you're supposed to help the needy, and I don't see how any of them are trying to help out at all. And he said, I have no fear of any of this. I feel I sleep well at night. I've made the right decision for the people of Arizona. That is a Republican Steve Pierce talking. There are many sides of this issue. It's one of the more complex and interesting things I've seen in Arizona in a long time.
David Safir, thank you very much. And our thanks to Christine for giving us the latest on their petition drive that will be launched. And by the way, in response to that petition drive, David, and to our listeners, the governor says they are prepared preparing a legal challenge to cut off any referral to the ballot. Apparently, they would refer to the Arizona Constitution. There's some language. I don't have time to get into it right now, but we could have another court fight on our hands.
Jan Brewer does play hardball, doesn't she?
David, thank you very much. You can look for David's blog on blogforarizona.com. And we thank you, David, for being with us.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by Culligan. Culligan, folks offer, and we gladly accept all of our guests getting a bottle of Culligan water. Everybody enjoys the arrangement, and why wouldn't they? Culligan water, it just really simply tastes better. They offer the widest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. That's going to wrap it up for our midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. We will be back with you on Thursday tomorrow at 12:04. We want to remind you to listen to the John C. Scott Show as we have more local talk coming up at from 3 to 5 this afternoon. John C. Scott on KVOI. And then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe on AM 1030 KVOI. Tucson's intelligent voice. I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.